Welcome to Social Media Know-How, the podcast featuring the greatest minds and brands in the world of social and digital marketing. And now, your host, founder and CEO of Link Humans, Jorgen Sundberg.
Hey Zan Sveisan, how are you? Many thanks for tuning in to Social Media Know-How, the Link Humans podcast. I'm your faithful host, Jorgen Sundberg, and this podcast is here to help you improve your social and digital marketing. It's a tall order, I know. I am coming to you from Link Humans Global HQ Towers in North London. It's nice and sunny today. It's the first week of May 2016. And for anyone listening from outside the UK, we're all recovering from a three-day weekend. So it appears that nobody outside Britain seems to have known about it, and also the reason why we had it. In fact, nobody does. It's one of those mysteries. We have no idea why we have three-day weekends, but we're very happy to have them, and we want to enjoy a long weekend, and then, of course, a four-day week to follow. And in typical English style, the sun disappeared for the weekend and appeared as soon as the three-day weekend was up. So, we've got lots of sunshine coming into the office. And, of course, everyone's got lots of catching up to do because lots of emails came in, lots of social media updates. And if you Slack, then there's another layer of messages to go through. And, a lot of us are not sure if it's Tuesday or Wembley. In fact, today it's May the 4th, which is Star Wars Day. And tomorrow is Cinco de Mayo, which is the national day of Mexico. So plenty of content out there to put out for you social media marketers. And speaking of content, now, if you're into football, or if you just like stories of underdogs, then, of course, you will have noticed that Leicester City won the English Premier League, the English Football League, the Premier Football League, and already I've seen a number of articles about the business lessons that we can all learn from this. And I don't know what you think about these type of stories, but I think if you're going to jump on a news story, you have to have a very good angle, or it simply looks like you're trend-jacking. Anyway, moving on. Very excited about today's show. I'm going to be joined by Glenn Goddard of Gagalamp. And we're going to talk about a very familiar topic on this podcast, actually, which is employee advocacy. More on that shortly. Now, our big office move is happening in less than 3 weeks, and things are mysteriously disappearing from the office. Where is that orange beanbag? Where are all the crap freebies that we've hoarded from conferences? What about those name tags that we brought back to the office for no apparent reason? I've got no idea what's going on, but the fact is that most of the clutter in this office will not be moved. That is my rule. So if you're in the market for a swivel chairs or an office fan or a hat stand perhaps, then just let us know. I mean, why would you have a stand for a hat? Now, do you want to get in touch? Love to hear from you. Jorgen at LinkHumans is my email address. And you could also tweet us using the hashtag SMKnowHow. Right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for our tip of the week. To share this week's tip of the week, we've got Ruby Lowe.
Hello.
Hi there. What you got for us?
So I want to talk about Visually, which is a really cool website for content creation.
So Visually, so that's visual.ly,
yep.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure I've seen lots of infographics hosted there.
Yeah.
So how can it help us marketers?
So it's a great place for going if you want a large piece of content, whether that be an ebook, a video, an infographic, or a report. So they have a paid service where you can get this content made for you. But they've also got really cool options for creating your own content, and that's free for everyone.
And what type of content would that be, for instance?
So one of my favorites is a Google Analytics infographic. So you connect visually to your Google Analytics, it pulls in the data and visualizes it perfectly.
Wow, okay. And you mentioned something about Twitter before?
Yep, so there's also another infographic option where you enter two Twitter handles and then it compares them. It compares their engagement levels, Twitter followers, and other things too.
That's really useful. And so how do we use visually here at Link Humans?
So I use it quite regularly to really make my Google Analytics clearer, especially for clients who may not kind of get the technicalities of it, but visualizing it definitely helps.
Yeah, great. And where do we find visually?
So you can find it just by searching visually on Google. It should be the top search, or you can type it in, it's visual.ly.
Yeah, very clever URL. And most of it is free, some of it is paid, right?
Yeah, so there's a lot of options for paid content, but there's also lots of different free tools that you can use.
Great, thanks Ruby.
Thank you.
Okay, so now it's time to transition to this week's interview, which is all about employee advocacy. Let's patch in Boston, Massachusetts. Glenn Goddard, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Jürgen. How are you?
Well, fantastic. And can you tell us a little bit about your company, Gaggleamp, and your role there, please?
Sure, I'd love to tell you about it. I never get sick of telling people about it. I started the company a little over 5 years ago. So I am the president and the founder of Gaggleamp. Gaggleamp is a platform that allows companies to really transform their employees into an online marketing engine. Some people call that employee advocacy. We see it as a much broader capability. So very excited to talk to you today about just kind of employee advocacy in general and how we see the world.
Excellent. And what would you say is the main challenge that employee advocacy addresses? How does it help organizations?
Well, I mean, certainly there's the aspect of the online marketing, right? And really getting the amplification impact of having lots of people who already have an affinity for your organization, i.e. your employees, to be able to easily share content that's being put out by the company. But there's also the engagement aspect of it, which really the more engaged your employees are, the more it impacts your culture. So you have this two-sided effect. One is certainly from the marketing, and which usually leads to sales, all right? And on the other side, you have engagement, which really helps drive culture. So it's a really powerful combination of bringing people together to be part of an overall strategy that impacts the sales, the marketing, and the culture.
Okay, so it's a positive loop. That's good news. And when we look at employee advocacy, that typically when I see case studies, it's from large organizations. Am I right in thinking this is better suited for large companies, whereas entrepreneurs can probably use it as well? But if you're only three employees, then the amplification will be limited.
Yeah, I mean it depends on what your goals are, right? So it's obviously, for a very large company, it's great, right? Because you can tap into thousands or tens of thousands of employees. But we've actually had. I remember when we going back a few years, we had a small company come on. They had 17 employees, and over a 3 month period, and this is what they told us: over a 3 month period, they tripled their web traffic, they quadrupled their lead flow. By getting the employees on our that were on our platform to just easily share content. So, even in a small situation, it doesn't take a lot of people to have big impact.
Right. Okay. So could it be that those 17 people were asleep at the wheel, that they weren't very social to begin with?
It's conceivable that you've got a mix, and yeah. It's more than conceivable. It's usually the case, right? Yeah. So you're going to have some employees that are just – they're loud on social. They're out there all the time. They're part of it. They get it. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you're going to have employees that aren't really sure about what to do and what to say on social. They might have a Twitter account. They're probably on LinkedIn, right? Because they have because they see that as their version of an online resume. So, you've got that full range. So you need to be able to satisfy the needs of, both ends plus everyone in the middle.
Right. So that's interesting that you talk about platforms there. Which digital and social channels do you see giving the best results for your clients?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Right. Okay. let me say this, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, where do Gagalabs users, where do they get the most return on investment?
So, you know, I think it's going to depend. And I'm sorry to answer it.
Yeah,
that
I knew
way.
That was going to come.
Well, because depending on what your business is, right? So in a B2B setting, you're going to see a lot more activity on LinkedIn and Twitter in terms of results. And in a B2C setting, you might see more on Pinterest. You might see more on Facebook, right? So it really depends on what you're trying to do, where the message should be landing. Because that, you know, that's the thing that we advise all of our customers to do is, you know, when you're thinking about what platforms to develop your social strategy around, you really have to look at where your audience is spending their time. If they're spending their time on Twitter, you want to have a presence there. If they're spending their time on LinkedIn, you want to have a presence there. And if and you carry that through on your employee side too, because, you know, this is where we need to be. Do we need to be on Twitter? Do we need to be on LinkedIn? I mean, as we are a B2B, right? We sell to other companies. So I can tell you from our perspective, a lot of our focus is on Twitter and LinkedIn. That's where we get the most impact for what we do. But, you know, if you're out there and you're B2C, yeah, that's probably not going to be the same.
No, I think that's typical of many organizations where employees would be very comfortable sharing updates about their company on LinkedIn or Twitter, which sits somewhere in between business and personal. But then to share it onto Facebook and, you know, have friends and relatives looking at your new shiny B2B products, do you see...
Well, I don't think it's that. So again, you have to think about this as a strategy, right? A broader strategy, a communication strategy. And it's not about just getting your product out there all the time. In fact, we have customers and we have some B2C brands that you would know. And when you look at the kinds of content that they're asking their employees to share, whether it be on Facebook or somewhere else, they're not talking about the products per se, but a lot of times they're talking about the impact that they may be having in the local community, right? And then all of a sudden you see employees who are really proud about sharing this, saying, listen, I'm part of an organization that's having real impact. So, you know, it depends on what your communication strategy is. What are you trying to get out there? What are you trying to have impact with? Because in a broader sense, you know, when you take this out of the realm of just, you know, I'm trying to get more leads for my product, what you're doing is you're impacting your brand. And how do you want to impact your brand with the right kinds of messages that are going out, whether it be from the corporate social assets as well as the employee social assets.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's a fair point. So I guess it goes back to having the right content mix so people have different type of updates to share wherever they're comfortable.
Yeah. And you shouldn't expect that every employee is going to share everything you put out there for them, right? That's not what this is all about. It's about giving them the choice so they can share the content that they're comfortable with sharing.
Yep. Okay, great. And so I kind of see, and I've read a bit about employee advocacy, and it's in a way, it's, you know, you amplify, you have more voices than just your corporate social media feed. So you, let's say you have 100 people talking about, I don't know, an event, for instance. And it's a way of getting around these algorithms, getting around their Facebook page rank and so on, and to get organic engagement on these platforms. But how long will it take before these platforms realize that they're actually losing revenue here? And could that be a challenge for employee advocacy as a whole?
Well, I'm not sure you ever get around the algorithms. I mean, you know, people have been trying to get around the Google algorithms for years. And every time, you know, somebody kind of breaks the code, if you will, what do? They change the code. So this is not about getting around their algorithms. This is about empowering people to share content that they would like to share. And so, again, you're not trying to do an end run around any of the platforms. What you're trying to do is you're just trying to make it easy for people now to start contributing to their social presence with the kind of content that they would like to share.
Right.
Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it certainly – helps your employees to build their personal brands. However, isn't there a risk sometimes? I mean, I've seen this myself from the guys at LinkedIn, and they have a tool called Elevate, I think. And sometimes I see them sharing exactly the same updates. I can see it, you know, 20 times in a day from different people. How do you make sure that that doesn't happen in such a short time span as well?
Well, I mean, there are certain things that we do to help reduce that impact. But at the end of the day, you also have to look at what the crossover is. So in other words, you know, if you and I have exactly the same people in our contact list on LinkedIn, right, you might actually start seeing some of that, right? Because we might be connected to 100 people in the same company together, and then we start seeing that. But the reality is, once you get outside that organization, the people in the outside, they're not connected to everyone in the organization. So they're not seeing the fact that maybe 100 people shared a message that was similar. So that's where people always look at it from kind of the wrong perspective. Usually when I hear that, they're not looking at it from the outside world, which is really the audience that you're trying to get.
Okay. Yeah. That's a fair point. And across different platforms as well, of course. Okay. And so when picking an employee advocacy platform, what are some of the technology considerations?
Well, it's interesting. I would stay out of the technology at first, and I would look at ease of use. It has to be easy. Mm-hmm. So we focus on really two things. Make it easy, make it fun. If you make it easy and you make it fun, people will do it. If you make it challenging and complex, and you know, you're just going to have a reduced adoption of, frankly, any technology. It's just not employee advocacy. So make it easy, make it fun. And then people will use it.
And when you say make it fun, I want to pick up that point. How would you encourage people to keep doing it? Are there rewards and competitions, and how do you do it?
Well, in our platform, we have a couple of things. One is we have a leaderboard, which kind of gets those competitive juices. So you can see, you know, how are some of the other folks doing in my company compared to me? And we see amazing camaraderie that's built out of that. I mean, people build entire programs just around the Gaggle Amp leaderboard. It's powerful. In addition to that, there's also a reward system. So Gaggle Amp gives the company the ability to add rewards. They don't have to. We see about 50% of our clients using the reward system. But again, it's completely up to them. And we've seen rewards that range from, you know, go raid the marketing tchotchke closet, right, and get those water bottles and T-shirts that weren't given away at the last trade show and give those away, right?
Yeah.
It's a no-brainer. It doesn't cost you anything, really, because it's already a sunk cost. And we've seen other things. I remember one I saw, and we've actually done this here now because we saw somebody else do it. It's just like, all right, if you get so many points, then you get to have dinner with the founder of the company.
Hey, right? We're Glenn.
Yeah, so that's great, right? And we get to have some fun with that. So and anywhere in between, you can come up with some amazing things. And we're always amazed at what our customers come up with. They come up with some amazing plans around this. But what I always advise people is, look, you're not trying to buy participation. You should be offering a new car to somebody who shares your content. What you want to do is you just want to keep it fun, right? So this isn't a contest in the sense of, oh, well, you've got to be, you know, number one to do it all. You just want everybody to share what they can and reward people for it.
And in your experience on this leaderboards across your customer base, who are the people at the top? I'm imagining they'll be salespeople, but I might be wrong.
Oh, again, it's going to depend on the organization.
Yeah.
We certainly see salespeople as part of the adoption folks that, if you will, the people who jump on this quickly. Because it's funny, it's the salespeople usually see a direct impact just by using the product literally within days, right? Because most of these people have not been active on their LinkedIn, let's say, right? They're active in the sense that they go on there, they probably do some prospecting on there, but they're not updating their status. So their contacts don't even really see much of them. So all of a sudden, now they start getting really great, well-crafted content that usually comes out of the marketing department in an organization. They start sharing that. All of a sudden, now they're getting inbound engagements because people are responding to that great content. And in the setting of a LinkedIn, they probably have customers, they probably have prospects as part of their contact list who now have a reason to engage with you. So it's incredibly powerful where we see this from a sales perspective. But getting back to your question, you're asking, you know, who are the people that do best in the leaderboard? And it really is across the board. It's funny, what we do is we see people that oftentimes the people you least expect to all of a sudden be really active on social, now that you made it easy for them, they can't get enough of it. It's amazing.
Yeah, no, I've experienced that myself. Doing some training and so on for companies, and then following up a few months later, and it's the people you least expected who are really, I don't know, flourishing on social, which is great to see. And if we look at return on investment, how do you measure return on investment? I'm sure your clients are asking you this, and have you got any good examples for us?
Sure. Well, I mean, one of the things that we do is we measure the ROI for them. And there's a number of different ways that you can measure. I mean, you know, some of the easy ways is, you know, first of all, the message reach that you achieved, right? Mm-hmm. From, you know, if you think about it, you put something out on your corporate Twitter account. What's the average lifespan of that?
2 seconds.
Yeah, right. So it's not very long. And all of a sudden, now you have the ability to increase the reach, plus the chances of those people seeing the content by people sharing this over a period of time. And that's the nice thing about this. This is not just all of a sudden blasted out to everyone. This is really about organically sharing content over a period of time so that it gets the maximum exposure. So if you think about it from that point of view, what's it going to have impact on? Well, you're going to see ROI, first of all, from the reach. That's one. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
You're going to see click-throughs, you know, assuming you're putting links in the content that comes back to your website. And then from the links, what happens? You're driving people to the website. Now they're downloading forms and you're capturing leads. Right? So there's a direct correlation to the amount of leads that you're getting. And then because what our stuff does is it allows you to actually get that closed loop marketing. So we work with marketing automation tools so that we can do lead source passing to the marketing automation tool. The marketing automation tool passes that to the CRM. Next thing you know exactly from what message that this particular deal came in on. So if you closed a deal for $5,000, for $20,000, you know exactly where that came from now. So it's really powerful. Even though you're getting all these people to share, there's that data that comes in with it, which is a really big piece of this.
Yeah, I think that the tracking back of clicks and all these bits, it's really powerful. What are some of these marketing automation tools that you integrate with?
So just off the top of my head, Marketo is one, Eloqua, which is Oracle now, HubSpot, Pardot.
So all the big ones, basically.
Yeah, all the big ones.
Great.
I mean, if you're only using Google Analytics, we work with Google Analytics, right? So the point is, what you want to be able to do is you want to be able to track to the effectiveness from a social perspective, but then you also want to carry that through to your broader marketing strategy. And the only way to do that is to really tie in with some of these other tools and provide that lead source information to them.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we look at employee advocacy market space, that, I mean, it's getting a little bit crowded now. You got the likes of Dynamic Signal, Smarp is a European startup. Well, they've been going for a while. Social Cores is another one. What's your USP, and why should a company consider you guys as opposed to the others?
Well, you know, I always think it's great because it validates the market, right? Because we're not the only ones anymore who are offering this. But when you start looking at all of these different solutions, you're going to notice that everybody takes a very kind of a different path to get there. And so it's you know, what you need to do is you need to align what's going to be most effective for your employees with the feature sets that the solutions are offering, right? Because they're not all the same. Everyone's got a little different take on it. So our secret sauce has really started from what I said earlier. It's got to be easy and it's got to be fun, right? So we make it so simple. Literally, you take a message. Marketing takes a message, they put it into what we call a gaggle, and then the members notify there's new activities for them to do, and they can either share that message with the click of a button or say no thanks. I mean, it's really that simple. So, but we go even further and we add engagement opportunities. So maybe it's not just enough to share content. And I think a lot of these folks are just, you know, starting where we were, you know, 4 years ago, which is just sharing content. And what we have is we have the ability to actually do that engagement. Maybe you want all your employees to write a review for you on Glassdoor. Maybe you want your employees to follow an industry analyst on Twitter or LinkedIn. Right. So all of these things can be done in our platform in that same, you know, make it easy, make it fun environment.
OK, well, that's really interesting because I know a lot of listeners to this podcast would love their employees to do Glassdoor reviews. So that's a great use case.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, if you were to ask me what I envision all of this, we just have to make it easy to empower employees to know what to do, right? So it's not just about sharing content, but it's also about how do they engage online in an effective manner. And so with Gaggle Amp, you're able to do that. We have, I think, 40 things now that you can have your employees do, right? So it's not just about social, but it is about this broader concept of how do employees engage online. And again, make it easy and make it fun.
Sounds good to me. Right. And if we look at yourself, Jen, you're a founder, you're a president. How do you build your personal brand on social? What's your favorite channel?
You know, I use LinkedIn regularly. I use Twitter regularly. And I think that, what makes it easier for me is I get content from us. I mean, I get content. I use my own product, right? So, you know, I get this steady stream of great content that I love sharing, and then I add my own voice to it too. So I have this great combination of content and engagement that comes out of that. Because, you know, I may have posted something that came out of our platform, you know, I saw something really great for LinkedIn. I shared it on LinkedIn. The next thing you know, I get some responses, and now I get to have a conversation with those people, right? So I had the fire starter, if you will, and then I'm able to take that and really enhance that conversation.
Okay, great. And if we look at brands that inspire you, not necessarily using employee advocacy, but just in general, brands are on social and digital that we should keep an eye on.
You know, I've one of the things that one of the people that I've been following is Richard Branson. Yep. I've found him to be just he's a breath of fresh air in the sense that, you know, the things that he's talking about speak about more than just his products, really, and really speak about, you know, creating a great culture and being part of the world and having impact and adding value to their customers, but just to the world in general. And to me, that's really refreshing, is seeing that. I mean, I like to think that what we're building here is something very special, and we constantly innovate so that we can add value to our customers and then have impact to the broader world and our employees and the people we do business with. So to me, Richard Branson has been really a shining star in all of that.
Anyone else?
So I should probably pick somebody from the United States, right? given that we are.
There must be some Bostonians who keep an eye on.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I look at executives who are on social, I try to actually see, okay, is this something that they're doing or is this something that marketing is doing? Now, the reality is there's probably some impact from marketing, but there's something in the voice that you get. And that's why I point to Richard Branson, because I see something in that voice that takes it apart from the normal corporate blog and impact. And from that point of view, I think he rises above everybody else. And I wouldn't even dare to put somebody else who's like in that same vein, at least from my perspective.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think he's a great example because, he's published a number of books. He does he blogs on LinkedIn. He's got about 9 million followers on LinkedIn, more than on any other platform. And, he does all these Google Hangouts and so on. He's really a great figurehead for the Virgin brand, I think.
Yeah, and he's on my bucket list to have a conversation with. So if you happen to know him, let me know. I'd love the connection.
I'm working on it, Glenn, working on it. Okay, so final question there. What's the next big thing for this employee advocacy space that nobody's thinking about? What's the secret to success?
Well, we're going to be launching something at our customer event in May. So I think you're going to have to come out and see it. And I'm happy to give you a free pass to come out and see it. Maybe you can do it from there. But I probably should announce it. But I will tell you this. We see a tremendous opportunity, at least for us and our customers and what we've heard from our customers in a couple of different areas. A couple of the areas that I will share with you is the challenges that they're facing. And the challenges that they're facing is, how do I get employees engaged in other areas? That's one. And how do I manage all of this content? And that's the other. So you're going to see some things coming out in May that really address those issues.
Okay. Sounds interesting. So we'll stay tuned for that. And right. So where can we learn more about yourself and Gaglamp?
Well, my Twitter account is Glenn with two N's G. That's GLENNG. I started Twitter long enough ago where I could grab that.
Yeah, well done.
And the company, you can certainly visit us at gaggleamp.com, GAGGLEAMP. Unlike other platforms, you can come to gaggleamp.com. You can actually try us out without even talking to a sales rep. We put our product first because we want people to see how darn easy it is to use. And you don't always have that opportunity with some of these other platforms because there's a whole process you have to go through. But literally, you can have yourself up and running and your company up and running within about 2 minutes. So it's pretty easy from that point of view. But once you actually dig in, you'll see how powerful it is, as well as the ease of use that's covered there. So that's what I would recommend. Come check us out. There's a 7-day free trial for anybody who wants to give it a shot. We'd love to have you do that. Also come and check out our webinars, our blogs. We do a lot of content to provide some value around employee advocacy. So even if you're not ready for it, come check out some of the resources that we have, the ebooks that we have. They're really powerful and they'll help you think in a way that will make sure that you're successful when you actually do launch an employee advocacy program.
So if you're not quite ready, feel free to enter the funnel at the top.
Absolutely. That's
come down on the journey.
That's right. That's right. We'll nurture you.
Yes, absolutely. Fantastic. Many thanks for your time, Glenn.
Thank you, Jorgen. Thanks for having me on.
Right, folks. What do you think of the future for employee advocacy? Is it rosy? Is it dark? Is it orange? Let us know on the hashtag SMKnowHow. And it's also it's funny that Glenn should mention Glassdoor there, because they're actually up next on this podcast. So keep an eye and an ear out for that chat in a week's time. I could recommend that you subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And of course, everything that Glenn mentioned will be in the accompanying show notes article. I take it upon myself to Google these things and linking out to all the resources he's mentioned, so that it'll be easy for you to go and have a look at that. And my little shout out for this week is for a user in Germany. So in the podcast app in Germany, on the iTunes store, a user called Slightly Blue, I'm not actually sure what your real name is, has given us a very nice review. So thank you very much for that, Slightly Blue. If you want to reveal your real name, feel free to do so, and I'll give you another shout out, which is less undercover, I suppose. Right, and anyone else wants to get a shout out, just tweet us or leave a review or whatever you want to do, and we'll make sure to give you a shout at the very end of the podcast. Great. Thank you very much for tuning in this week, and I look forward to catching you all next week.
Thank you for listening to Social Media Know-How with your host, Jorgen Sundberg of Link Humans. For show notes and more, go to linkhumans.com/podcast and check out the hashtag SMKnowHow.
I will give you a quote I once heard, and unfortunately, I don't know who did it, and maybe somebody can help me out with who actually made the quote, but it goes something like this. What the mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve. And that's been a mantra for me, and it's been really powerful, you know, given that 5 years ago, this concept of employee advocacy didn't even exist, and I had to take it out of air and turn it into something.